know, this isn't really what I appreciate doing. My heart just went out the room. So, but we're talking about family today, so I'll give it a shot here.
I love it when Naomi shares with me here. To me, it's just it's a highlight. Well, we've been talking about church and what is church. And we established the original word was in Greek language, and it was ekklesia, and that refers to people that are called out or called forth with a purpose. So we've established it's really not a building, but it's people who love the Lord and gather together to worship the Lord. That's church. And we have even a creed that we like to proclaim. I am part of the church, which is God's primary means of accomplishing his purposes on earth. God wants to partner with his people to do what he has in mind. And that blows my mind to think about it. The God of the universe, who could just snap his fingers and accomplish anything, chooses to partner with us. And so that's pretty cool.
So last week, Phil talked about the churches, and we are the temple of God. We are his people. We are prepared. We welcome his presence. That was last week.
And that's what we want to do. Every Sunday we gather together is to welcome the presence of God. That's really key. Now today we're going to be taking a look at how the church is like a family. Anybody out there have a family? I think pretty much that covers everybody. We have families as well. And you ever notice there's some peculiarities in every family? Have you ever noticed that? Naomi's brother, Steve, he is the master of puns. I mean, the groaners, they just, oh, Steve, that's what he does.
And speaking of brothers, I'm married into a family with a brother that wasn't really a brother. He's an uncle. But everyone, you know, it's all confusing. So everyone's got their things with their families.
Right. Now, we both actually come from strong families. Both of our families enjoy good relationships throughout. We all get along well with each other. Both families are all Christians. We feel very good about that. In fact, out of 16 couples between both of our families, all but two are licensed ministers. And even those two are very involved in their churches. And that's not even getting into the generation after ours. That's just our generation. So we're going to talk about family today, and it's kind of double layered. There'll be application for your family at home, but application for the church family as well. In fact, a few years back, I wrote a song about family, and I just want to read some of the lyrics to you. There's nothing better than getting together with friends and family, reminiscing while the others listen to our favorite memories. It's so much fun, it's second to none to have the time to share. The harmony of our unity is far beyond compare. There's Uncle Bob. Everybody has an Uncle Bob, right? There's Uncle Bob, and there's Aunt Sue, and Cousin Joey, too. And when we're all together, it's something like a zoo. We sit around and chew the fat all day into the night. We stay up late and eat too much. It's really quite a sight. And when it's time to leave, there's always some that cry. We have such fun, the time just flies. It's hard to say goodbye. In church, it's much the same as any family. There's Brother George and Sister Ruth. There's toddlers and there's teens. And every sunny morning, we gather once again to thank the Lord and give him praise for covering all our sins. He's the one who made the way for us to live in peace, and joyfully we share this life in God's big family. The church is, we are the family of God. That's who we are. In fact, Ephesians chapter 2, 18 and 19, I think I referenced it last week, says that we are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens and members of God's household. That's who we are. And now today I want to take a look at Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 14. If you have your Bible or a Bible app, you could get that out. And would you please stand as I read these few verses here? Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. All right, you may be seated. There's a lot of material there, but we're going to hit some highlights and make some application for the family.
So in the verse there, it talked about being rooted in love. Love is fundamental in a family. Family is a safe haven. In The Wizard of Oz, it says, there's no place like home. Yep, click your feet together. And we've all heard, home is where the heart is. As God's family, we are to be loving and kind, like a good family should be. The family was and is designed by God. It is designed to be a place of safety from the world. It's an environment where the art of nurturing takes place. It's a place where children are born and raised. It's where love takes place on a daily basis. And it's where encouragement is dished out in large doses and discipline is found and respect is taught. This could equally describe what the church is supposed to be like as well.
Yep, the family of God. Strong families are deeply committed to promoting each other's happiness and welfare. They're also committed to the family group, which is reflected in the amount of time and energy they invest there. You know, when life gets too hectic, strong families will sit down and eliminate some activities and involvement so that their family relationships and lives can be happier and more satisfying. And family stability and cohesion are high priorities in a good family. Now, this should also be true for the church as God's family. Now, in the scripture, the word brothers is used around 180 times in the New Testament when it refers to believers.
So I'm reminded of our scripture memory for this month. It says, finally, brothers, and in Kids Club, we learn brothers and sisters. But finally, brothers and sisters and all those things. So we're a family.
Yep, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. In fact, in the old days, that's how we referred to each other in the church. It was brother, Brother Kyle, Sister Elisa. That's just the way it was in the old days. It's pretty biblical, really, because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, the word father is used over 1,600 times in the Bible. That is more than prayer, praise, and worship all combined. In the Gospels and Acts, Jesus preferred to call God Father, using the name 171 times. He taught us to pray, our Father. And all of Paul's letters refer to God as Father in the greeting. So are you getting the idea of how family is so important? We're brothers and sisters, and God is our Father. It's emphasized in the scripture. 1 John 3:1 says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. That's who we are, children of God. Now, fatherhood is an important concept in the scripture. So I want to say, dads, be involved with your families. It's very biblical.
So a guy named Tony Evans, he had a bunch of stats out here. It says 70% of all prisoners come from fatherless homes. Nearly 80% of all rapists come from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 63% of teen suicide come from fatherless homes or abusive families. So virtually every adult social pathology has been linked to either a fatherless home or homes with a father who has been absent, abusive, or neglectful.
Yeah, that's really staggering statistics. So you can see how important the influence of a dad is. So men, I want to ask you, will you set aside some extra time this week just to be with your family? Just being there is important. your family.
So here's a little thing about dads from Reader's Digest. Dad, he's the mess maker, rule breaker, risk taker. In general, he's the opposite of mom, the mother nurturer, or the master nurturer, creator of law and order. But for all of his mischief, Dad is doing something quite right. The same daddy-like interactions that sometimes annoy mom will significantly contribute to children's social skills and success in school. Moms and dads are indeed different, but their distinctive styles of caretaking complement each other perfectly to the advantage of the children.
That's right. I'm glad we're not the same.
That's right.
And we really believe it's good for the kids to have both influences as much as possible. Dads carry a lot of weight in a family. And in no way am I meaning to lower the status of a mother at all. Moms are incredibly important. But we need to emphasize the importance of dad, particularly in our society that wants to kind of minimize masculinity and fatherhood. But biblically, dad is the head of the home. He's the principal provider, principal protector. He's responsible in God's eyes for godly instruction and training. Even though in most homes, usually it's the mom who does a lot of that, in God's eyes, it's the dad who is held responsible for it. And typically, in a lot of households, dad is the final disciplinarian. I mean, how many ever heard the words, just wait till your father gets home? You know, dad kind of, he draws the line. And ultimately, dad or father is the spiritual representative of God in the home. Since God is called a father, most people's idea of God comes from an image of a father. And so Jesus taught us to pray, our Father in heaven. And people have an idea of what God is like when they see their dad or other dads in action. That gives an idea. I know it's not perfect, but it paints an image of what God must be like. In fact, I think sometimes the reason people have trouble with faith in God is because they had a father who set a bad example. And so when they hear that God's our father, that's a bad taste to them. But God is our father, and dads, we represent God to our family. Now, these are significant charges that a father must carry. And while we struggle at times, we don't always get it right as dads, I think most of us feel the weight of those responsibilities. And we want to be respected and honored for those contributions.
So a few minutes ago, Phil said, men, will you spend time with your kids? So now I'll speak to the kids and ladies. Will you spend time with their dads this week?
All right, let's talk about just some basic relations, some components of getting along with each other. This applies both to home family and church family. Okay, we're coming out of Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verses 2 and 3. These are really practical here. It says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. These principles will apply in your home as well in your church family. Now, we've talked before about putting up with each other. That bearing with each other literally means to put up with each other. Yep. All right, go ahead. It's okay to look around a little bit. Yeah, got to put up with each other. And that's especially true in families, including the in-laws. Anybody ever have to make some adjustments? Yeah, learn to put up with each other. So a little humility and gentleness goes a long ways. And this idea of unity requires hard work. Okay, that's true at home, family, and church family, both. Keeping unity, it's not just automatic. You have to work at it. Am I right? Okay, in case you were wondering, I'm right. Okay? And it requires hard work because, as they say, every family tree always produces a few nuts. Yeah, so you got to work at it.
So even though Phil and I's families are very similar, there were some differences that we need to put up with as we married each other.
Yeah, our family was cool.
Yeah. Yes. So So we decided a really long time ago that we would say, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. So when Phil was with my family, whatever the, what word am I looking for? Because it's not in here and we didn't say that.
Whatever the family did.
Yeah, whatever the family did, that's what.
I had
other,
to
yeah.
adapt.
So we had some things that they, that Phil had to adapt to my family. Like it used to be, we had Christmas together and we opened every single present individually, one at a time. And so that was like marathon 3-hour gift opening. And he was like, this is long. But he put up with it and didn't complain much. And then, and then on the other hand, when I moved into the Waldo family, there, I have great in-laws, I really do, because they're here and I should say that. but they are early risers, even on holidays, early risers. And they're a little better with that, too. I think they let us sleep until 8 for breakfast now. And so, but, yeah, early risers. And we had to get used to that. I had to get used to that.
So we learned to put up with each other. We learned to get along. Ephesians 5:21 says this about family relationships. It says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And a lot of times people pick up on the next verse where it talks about husbands and wives, and it says, wives, submit to your husbands. But it actually starts in verse 21 where it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And that applies in a family as well, submitting to one another. And here's my application. On different occasions, for varying reasons, each one in the family are going to need to let the other family members take precedence. There's times when somebody else has a real serious issue going on, and so we're going to give them a little more attention. Okay? I don't always get all the attention. Somebody else might need a little bit more, and so we kind of give and take, and there's some submitting going on. Another aspect of any family relationship, both home and church, is to show love and respect. In fact, these are huge fundamentals. They are kind of the two pillars that hold up any relationship, love and respect. Huge. Children, respect your parents because it's right and God is pleased with it. You want to make God happy? Respect your parents. And parents, especially dads, don't be so hard on your kids that it drives them to rebellious anger. Okay? And the same thing with church family, show love and respect.
So disrespect was the ultimate no-no in our home. Other things could be discussed, but respect always got disrespect got immediate discipline. So there's a difference between breaking the rules and being sassy. Sometimes moms, we can be a little too gentle and put up with a little disrespect. But Phil always enforced the respect for me above all else. And that made me feel very loved. Respect is an important value in most venues of life, church and outside of church as
well.
That's
right. Respect is huge. And it's true. We learn to distinguish. Kids are going to break rules from time to time. They're going to make mistakes. And, you know, you can give a little slack for that. But when they showed disrespect, it was right now. That is zero tolerance for that. Can I get an amen for my kids? And I learned it from my parents as well. Because, you know, I got my share of spankings. I know that's controversial nowadays, but I got them. Okay? I got my spankings, but I'll tell you what, the ones that got me in most trouble is if I disrespected especially my mother. I was in big trouble for that. That's my dad saying amen. It was true. Okay? So there's a difference there. Respect is a big deal. Here's another one. Respect and encourage your children's individuality. Okay? Not everybody's exactly the same. We're not cookie cutters of each other. You know, Jake and Michelle are not the same person. Not even close. Okay? Jake always loved being active, and so we encouraged sports. Okay? Michelle always loved drawing, and so we encouraged art. Everybody's a little bit different. The same in the church family. We're not all the same. We're all a little bit different, and that's a good thing. Okay?
another basic component of family life is to simply be there. So you need to attend your kids' events as much as possible. We sat in the rain and freezing conditions watching Jake play soccer. And even now, he coaches the high school, or assistant coaches the high school, and we go and watch him stand on the sidelines. That seems to be what he does, is just stand there. But we're there. We're watching his games. And we're there for him still. And we drove all over the state watching Michelle sing in concerts and stuff. But we did it. We drove around. And even now, when she is setting up her new class every beginning of the year, we're there helping her set up her classroom. We're there for our kids. And so we should be the same for the church. We should be here at church. When there are church activities and church functions, we need to be here for each other. We need to attend services and all the other activities that go on. Be here. It says in Hebrews 10:25, don't give up meeting together.
So be there. Here's another good quality we recommend. Set expectations. Okay? For our kids, we expected them to get good grades. Now, not necessarily A's, straight A's, but to get the best grade you can get. That we expected that. In fact, that we put a poster on the top of the stair wall so when the kids walked down, they would see it. It says, don't just be smart, work hard. Okay? And so here's the idea. There are some that could just kind of, they could whip out a B without even trying. Okay? Well, let's give it your effort and get an A then. You understand? So set some expectations. We also set expectations of purity for our kids. Yeah. And we didn't talk about this, but Naomi has mentioned that to some of her coworkers. And they're kind of like, really? You expect them to stay pure? Yeah. That's the expectation we had. We had dating guidelines. We expect them to be godly men and women. You know, that the whole have fun and be good. And if you can only do one, then be good. I say that here for kids' church when they go. That originated in our house for our kids. When they went out to an activity, have fun and be good. But if you can only do one, then just be good. Okay? Like a good coach or fitness trainer, parents need to know that kids are going to need some prompting to reach their full potential. Okay? Have you ever met a little kid before? Okay? They tend to try to get away with what they can. And so sometimes you've got to push them a little bit. And that's all right. In fact, we have some expectations for OBCers. That's you, by the way, here at church. We have some expectations. We believe the people of Open Bible Church should embrace and exemplify these values. And our leaders should know them. Personal, practical, and powerful.
We need to be developing relationship with God through prayer and the Bible. We need to be becoming more and more like Christ.
Yep. And on the personal, specifically, we really would love to see every person here to be an active participant in a small group. And we need to be reaching out to people who don't know Jesus. That's how we are going to be personal in our community.
And the practical point, we need to be actively involved in the five key practices of the church: worshiping, fellowshipping, serving, discipling, and evangelizing. And we need to be a scriptural giver of tithes and offerings.
And then on the powerful point, our expectation and our hope for every one of you is to be filled, fellowshipping, and flowing with the Holy Spirit. And we want you to be using your spiritual gifts in ministry. And so we have some expectations and some things that we want to see as your leaders and as the family of God. We want to rise up to these expectations.
So here's another component of family life, discipline. It's a good idea to set guidelines in advance and distinguish between immaturity and rebellion. So we set guidelines earlier. We talked about that. We told you what our expectations were. Those were the guidelines. And then when there's rebellion, discipline is necessary. Also understand that one size does not fit all, and it's okay to adjust as needed. What we disciplined Michelle with was a whole different thing for Jacob.
Absolutely.
I think Phil tells about a time he was talking to his dad about disciplining Jake, and I think Doug said something about spanking, and Phil said, we cannot hit him hard enough to make any difference.
Just to be clear, we were not abusive, okay? But he's a tough little kid. I mean, if those of you who knew him growing up, he got banged up and beat up all the time. He broke legs, he broke fingers, and nothing ever seemed to hurt. So a spanking's not going to do a thing to him. Right.
And I always had the policy that I unapologetically could get into their stuff, their rooms, their stuff. There's no off limits for mom. It's okay to be in their lives, be in their stuff. So parents, you need to be the parents before you're their friends.
That's right.
And now they're grown up, and I think they're our friends. But we were their parents first. I didn't hear an amen, and you're one of them. But that's all right.
Yeah.
And this one is not very pleasant, but sometimes discipline is required in the church as well. It's way no fun, but sometimes the church as well. And you may have noticed that sometimes Phil's sermons kind of step on our toes. Sometimes that's a little bit of discipline, kind of a reminder of the right thing to do,
yep.
The right way to do things.
Yeah. And back to the discipline of the kids. With Michelle, it was just kind of you could give her a little talk, and that's all it would take. Jake was a little different story. And we found that you had to take away his electronics and stuff. Yeah. So you kind of have to figure out what works in each case and adapt to that. Here's another, I think, just good advice. Don't just give your kids everything they want. Don't just give them everything they want. Teach them patience by making them wait. Okay, it's okay to wait. It's okay to wait sometimes. Yeah. All right? And one of the ways we did this, I mean, there's lots of applications here, but just a real simple one was for Christmas and birthdays, we had the presents out early. And the kids had to wait. And the expectation was, back to expectations, you're not going to get into that and find out what it is before the day it's to be opened.
Christina. She says that she has unwrapped her, not mine, I don't think, but her mom's presents and then wrapped them back up. Presents from her mom.
Naughty, naughty. Now, church, we need to practice patience as well, okay? Patience is good.
So we also need to teach productivity. We need to make sure our kids are earning what they get. So both of the kids did chores for me, ironing and cleaning and different things, laundry or whatever, to get some of the things that they wanted. And that was okay. And they had chores that they really just had to do, but then sometimes they could do a little extra to get a little something extra. And we as members of the church family should be productive, too. There's lots of things to do in the church, and we need to be productive.
Yep. Now, I just thought of another thing we didn't have in our notes on that, making the kids earn it. We did, as Naomi mentioned, there were certain chores. That's just part of being in the family. You're going to do some chores, okay? And we also gave them some allowance. And that was also just because you're our kids. You get an allowance, okay? But then there were other things they could do extra above and beyond their normal chores, and we'd give them a little extra money, okay? So the chores and allowance weren't always tied together. They just, that was just an expectation. But they could earn a little bit more if they wanted to, okay? So, church, we need to be productive as well, and we need to remember that it's not all about what you want or even about meeting all of your needs. What? Church isn't about my needs? Remember how we talked about the church last week is not a store at which you shop for all your wants and needs? Church is not a store. Church is more like a family. And, like it or not, the pastor is something like a dad. Okay? So my job and calling as your leader is not just to give you everything you want. It's not just to make you feel good. It's to provide you what you need and help you grow in your faith. Just like a dad at home would provide for the needs of his family, the pastor of the church is very similar to that. And so, church, we need to understand it's not all about you. Now, I know that's shocking to some of you. It's not all about you. And in your family, in your marriage, part of your marriage is showing your kids how to keep commitments and to love and respect others. Okay? So it's not all about you. And church, on this point, it's not all about you. You're not here just to get something for yourself. Now, I hope when you come, you feel that you are ministered to in some respect. I sincerely do. But that is not the only reason you're here. You might be here because somebody else needs the help that you can give them. Okay?
And families should encourage positive attitudes. So life is what you make of it. You'll have as much fun as you decide to have. I remember asking Jake one time, he was going to go to an event, and I said, "You're going to have fun?" He says, "Well, I'm going to be there. It'll be fun." So it's as much fun as you think you're going to have, whatever you're doing. So we need to encourage positive results. And then there's also the saying, grass is always greener on the other side. But I don't think that's true. The grass is greener when you where you water it and you think positive thoughts towards it. That's weird. But anyway, so it's where you water it. That's the side. Yeah. That's the grass that's greener.
Where you give the attention to it. Yep. Here's another just real practical one for family relationships. We believe a sense of humor goes a long ways. Sense of humor. Okay? Learn to laugh at yourself. It's okay to laugh at yourself. Okay? I remember a time at a family gathering, I think it was over at Jefferson at my uncle's house, and we were all under a little tent, and it had rained the night before, and there was a little bit of water on the top. Okay? And Michelle was a teenager at the time, I think, young teenager. Oh, okay, preteen. And she noticed that water up there, so she tried to pull on it to get the water off, and it just doused her completely. But she was a great sport. She just laughed about it, and we all had a good chuckle. Now, when I was a kid, I would have been embarrassed to death. But she just laughed at it. It was funny. It happened to me, so what? Learn to laugh at yourself. Don't always take life so seriously. And have fun together. Okay? We like to play table games. We have fun doing that. We think that being weird is awesome. Okay? Jake and I like to get the dogs to howl. Like, you know, we start howling, they'll howl. I can do a mean Chewbacca growl once in a while at a random time. Okay, have fun together. And church, it's okay to have fun with each other at church too. Okay? In fact, that is one thing that newcomers are looking for in a church. Are these people real? Do they really get along with each other? People look for that. And one way we demonstrate that is we enjoy each other's company. We have fun with each other. And then people know we're real people. Okay? Now here's some real practical suggestions for everybody. In your homes, eat together. This is a dying art. But church, I highly recommend this one. Eat together as often as possible. Now, I know schedules are wacko these days, but as often as you can, eat together. I promise you this. If you will take the time to sit at the family table and eat together, magic is going to happen. Yes, right. Turn off your cell phones, turn off the TV, and just sit at the table and have a meal together. Do I believe in magic? When it comes to the family table, I do. Okay? Generally, I would say no. But the family table, just sitting, having a meal, you'll be amazed at the conversation that just begins to happen. You should try it. It's really important. Here's another one. Play together. Play games together. Do silly things together. You know, if you got little kids, dad, be the horse and let them ride you. You know, stuff like that. Pray together. Worship together. Make memories together. You know, when our kids were preteen and early teen, we purposely did some road trips to make some memories together. And we still kind of reflect back on those and we remember those days. And church, this is for us as well. We should eat together from time to time. We should play together from time to time. And boy, should we pray together and worship together and make memories together. We're the family of God.
And church, we are a family. And like it or not, we're going to be in close proximity for all of eternity.
That's right.
So we may as well learn to get along now.
That's right.
So think of the ideal family, whatever ideal is in your head, okay? God's family is the ultimate family. And we are a part of it. We belong. Remember who you are. We are part of God's family.
Yep. The family of God. And I think hopefully we've got a video that will talk just a little bit more about family. Go. The family of God. Now, God is the only one who's perfect. So the rest of us are flawed. And like he said, it's a big mess. Sometimes it feels that way. And yet we are family. The family of God. That's who we are. You know, and the old song, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Are you glad that you're part? I mean, we think, a lot of times we think of salvation in very personal, almost selfish terms sometimes. I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. And that's good. It's true. But we're in this together. We're the family of God and we're on a journey together and we're partnering together with God to do his stuff. We're the family of God. So here we've talked about the church is the body of Christ. The church is the temple of God. He lives in us, and we are the family of God. And so let's be the best family we can be. Amen? All right. Would you please stand? And let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the family of God. I thank you for my brothers and sisters right here in this room. We are family. Help us, Lord, to each see it that way. We're not just a social club, but we are actually family. Help us, Lord, to be the best family we can be, to love and respect, enjoy each other's company, to rise to the expectations and all these things we've talked about. Help us also to apply these in our home families and to be good parents and respectful kids, all of those things, Lord. Thank you, God, for being such a great father. And we love you, Lord. seeing you face to face. Help us, Lord, now to walk closely with you and be your family. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before you go,